Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. We were singing that song, I felt like God was saying the book of Jonah is kind of the opposite of that. The book of Jonah is kind of the contrast to trusting Jesus completely, to trusting God completely. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Jonah. That's where we'll be this morning. We started our series, Jonah, last week. It's all about God's relentless grace, mercy, and love towards sinners. That's what this book is all about. It's all about God. So often we think, well, it's about Jonah. It's about a big fish that swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of that big fish for 3 days, and that is kind of a miraculous event, and we teach it to our kids and stuff, but it's all about God, God's mercy, God's grace, and God's love that he wants to spread through Jonah. God wants to use Jonah like the flashlight, but Jonah's resisting. Jonah's not allowing that to happen. There are things in life that motivate us, that get us going, that keep us moving, and there are lots of different things. Money is one of those things. Why do a lot of you go to your jobs? You're motivated because you need a paycheck every week or 2 weeks or every month or however you get paid. Like, you're motivated because you get paid. We're motivated by having a job well done as we see progress. Sometimes we're motivated because it's things we enjoy. Maybe you really enjoy your work. There are a lot of times I'm driving to work in the morning, I think, man, I get paid to do this? This is good stuff. But everybody has parts of their job where, like, man, I get paid to do this. It's hard. There are things that motivate us, that keep us going. Fear can also be a powerful motivator, and we're going to talk about that this morning. If I'm not a runner, but something that could make me run is if I was being chased. Fear is a powerful motivator. It'll keep us moving. I was going to mention this morning, by the way, just a little pause. If you need to sleep this morning, you're free to do that. Today is a day of rest. I'm going to do my best to keep you awake and myself awake. But if you absolutely need that and your neighbor's not elbowing you, I'll try to keep you awake this morning. I know we've all had a long day yesterday. Fear is a powerful motivator, and we're going to talk about fear this morning. If you have your Bibles, Jonah chapter 1. We talked a little bit last week about what Jonah was doing. He went to Joppa. He traveled to Joppa, and then he wanted to go in the opposite direction. He wanted to go 2,500 miles in the wrong direction. God said, go 550 miles to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, I don't want to do that. And so he tries to flee from the presence of God. And we all know, as we talked about last week, you can't flee from the presence of God. The psalmist writes, where can I go away from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I go into the depths, you are there. You are everywhere because you created all. There is nowhere I can go from the presence of God. And yet, a man of God, someone who is called a prophet of God, decided he was going to have some bad theology. Maybe I'll get away from God. And there's some comical stuff in our text today. Maybe I'll try to get away from God and go as far away. That was about as far away. Tarshish was about as far away as they could go at that point. That was the edge of the earth for them. But instead, Jonah disobeyed. Let's read the first few verses this morning. I'm going to start in verse 4. I know we talked about this last week, but I want to kind of just give us the context. Jonah decides to flee to Tarshish. He hires a ship. Verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. Remember how we talked about Jonah? And his spiritual life just went down, 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 down. Over and over again, that word is used in here. Verse 6, so the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God." Repeating God's words to Jonah, "Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." Our verses for this morning, starting in verse 7. And they said to one another, they being the sailors, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" And he, being Jonah, said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Sometimes there's a lot of chaos that happens in our life. Sometimes there's a lot of things that happen. A sickness, a death, financial problems. There's this chaos that comes in, and the chaos brings questions and fear. The chaos comes in and brings these questions and fear, and Jonah here has gone down, down, down spiritually. He's fleeing from the presence of God. I don't know how much farther down spiritually you can go, but he's trying to get away from God. And all of a sudden, there's this chaos that happens in his life. He doesn't even know the chaos is there to start with. He's fast asleep in the bottom of the ship. But there's some guys up top that are pretty worried about what's going on in Jonah's life. They don't know it yet. The Bible says they cast lots. This was not an early form of gambling. They were trying to discern what's going on here, and that was a way that they believed would point to whatever was going on. God used this to point out Jonah. God can use all sorts of things. He can use a mule to talk to somebody. So if he can do that, God can do all sorts of things. So God uses this kind of secular thing to point to Jonah. They would have different color things, and they'd flip them, and they'd figure out like what exactly, who exactly it was. If it was two light-colored things, if they flipped them, they're both two light-colored, it meant it wasn't that person. If it was one light and one dark, it meant do it again. If it was too dark, it means it was that person. So they would go through, and they went through, and I'm not sure how long it took, how many sailors there were. Seems like with all this chaos going around, it'd be hard to kind of get this going, but they were going around. Maybe Jonah was the first one. You, we're going to do your first. Oh, it's you. I don't know. But somehow God used this, and it pointed to Jonah. Questions come up. I told you guys last week that these sailors were trained professionals. They wouldn't go out during the stormy season. So this storm is showing us the sovereignty of God, that he is over all of creation. And so the questions they would have had was, why is this storm happening? This is not supposed to happen. This is not the stormy season. But they had a lot more questions than that. They started asking Jonah questions. Where did this evil come from? What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? And what people are you? In essence, they're asking Jonah, who are you? We read a little bit of this verse, Nope, we haven't covered it yet. Later on, they will say that we knew you were a God-fearing, like we knew that this was part of God because you were fleeing from here. It's in verse 10. For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. They'd had a conversation. These sailors and Jonah, they'd talked. But apparently, him telling them about God hadn't really come up. He said, "I'm fleeing the presence of the Lord." And they're like, okay. But he didn't really tell them who the Lord was. He didn't give them any details. And so they have questions and they're afraid. Jonah begins to answer them. He says, I am a Hebrew. That told them quite a bit about him. I am a Hebrew. I'm of the people of Israel, basically, is what he said. They knew. The Israelites were known. It's a small world. The Israelites were known, and so they knew that they only worshipped one God. These sailors, it says that they prayed to their gods, little g, plural, so multiple. They were trying to figure out what was going on. I'm sure they were focusing on the gods of the storm and the sea and that kind of stuff because that's what was happening. And they're trying to appease these gods. Them hurling stuff over was kind of a sacrifice to the gods, lighten the ship, but also, here, gods, maybe this will appease you. It's not working. So they, Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew. And then what he says next is this. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Normally you would just hear the God of heaven and earth. But what does Jonah emphasize there? The God who made the sea, the heaven, the sea, and the land. Where are they at right now? They're in the middle of the sea, aren't they? Jonah's saying here that he fears the Lord who made the heavens and the sea and the dry land. There's a contrast here. In the book of Jonah, we love to see contrasts. Jonah says, I fear the Lord. Oh, do you, Jonah? He made the heavens, the sea, and the dry land. Where are you at right now, Jonah? You're in the sea. What's happening, Jonah? What does the Bible say? Who is actually exceedingly afraid? Verse 10. Then the men, the sailors, were exceedingly afraid. Jonah says, I fear the Lord. Look at me. But who's actually the one showing the fear here? There's a contrast. The men respond. What is this that you have done? What are you doing? If you're fleeing the presence of the God who created the sea, you're a moron. That's what the sailors are in essence saying. I know that's the Roger Stewart version, the RSV. In essence, that's what they're saying. What have you done? You just said you fear the Lord who created the sea and you got on a boat. I don't like calling people stupid, but you're stupid. Stay on land at least. You created the land too. Go in the sky. No, that doesn't work either. You can't flee the presence of God. But these men say, what have you done? What is this that you have done? For they knew that he was trying to flee from God. See, chaos brings these questions and fear. Chaos brings questions and fear in life. I have a friend who I went to college with. She's kind of a Facebook friend. It's not like we talk all the time, but you see people's posts and just kind of keep up on their news. We went to college together, and she got married, has a family. Her husband started developing, they call them cluster headaches. And so he started getting these cluster headaches, and they were looking into things that could be done. And finally, they realized that if they moved south, went to Georgia, it would help. And so they decided they were going to do that. So they went through this major remodel thing on their house that they were trying to get done, and the whole process of moving to Georgia. And thankfully, they had some friends and family, church group that kind of helped them to get all this stuff in order and move. It was this long process of him being completely debilitated, not being able to help with any of this stuff, because he had these headaches. They finally moved to Georgia, and the cluster headaches begin to go away. Praise the Lord. But then he starts having migraines. Just this last week, the migraines got so bad that they had to take him to the emergency room. They began doing tests and scans, and they discovered a 2.5 by 2.5 inch tumor in his brain. The chaos hits. The chaos is there. All of a sudden, the questions start coming up. The fear starts happening. Am I going to make it? Am I going to live through this? Are there things the doctors can do? There's questions that are coming up from his wife. There's questions that his kids have. They're afraid they're going to lose their daddy. He's afraid he's not going to be able to grow up and see his children. The questions arise. Doctors, what can be done? Can you do surgery without affecting my brain? The fear is there. When the chaos hits, it brings questions and fear. What's interesting, though, is when the questions and fear come, what was the first thing I saw? She kind of updated everybody. My friend posted on Facebook. She updated everybody. And then she said, pray. Pray for us. Because we don't know. We don't have the answers to these questions. We don't know what's going to happen. And when your life begins to encounter chaos, when it sends you into fear, you need to look to the one who has the answers. You need to look to the one who has the answers. You need to call to the Lord because he's the only one. God is displaying his sovereignty of all of creation in this text. And he's saying he is in control of all creation. Call to the Lord because he's the one that has the answers to all of these questions that we don't know the answers to. Let's continue on in our text, verse 11. Then they said to him, then they being the sailors said to him being Jonah, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. It just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. He said to them, Jonah said to the sailors, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, and they hurled him into the sea. And the sea ceased its raging. The word there, tempestuous, it's kind of a big word that, you know, I told our teens, there's words sometimes in the Bible, I told them this morning, sometimes there's words in the Bible that we wouldn't use on an everyday basis. If you went to the literal of this word, it's like the sea walked against them. With everything they could do, the sea was going against them. When you have these fears, they begin to motivate you. Fear motivates people to action. I said we would talk about that. True fear motivates people to action. When the chaos hits, you want to find out the answers to your questions. You want to know, is there a way that we can fight against this disease? You want to know, why, God, why did you take this person? It doesn't make sense. You want to know, why, God, did you do this? And so it motivates us to look for answers and to find the answers. And these sailors were looking for answers, so they said to this man of God, in quotes, this man of God, who says he fears the Lord. What are we supposed to do here? What should we do so that we don't all die? It's interesting. Jonah says, well, just pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Jonah wasn't even taking responsibility. He could have jumped off the boat. But he didn't want that on him. No, I want it to be on these guys. They killed me. You see what Jonah's doing here? He's taking no responsibility for any of it. Sure, it's my fault, but I'm not gonna just jump in the sea and let you guys go free. I'm going to make you take me and throw me in. I want you guys to basically kill me. Because that's what they thought was going to happen. And so he wants to blame this on the sailors. So the sailors, again, the sailors, it's interesting because they care more about Jonah than Jonah cares about anybody else. The sailors don't like this idea. That's a bad idea, Jonah. And you call yourself a man of God? This is not good. So what do? Okay, let's try to get this out of this our own way. We're going to row. Row as hard as you can, guys. And they're just rowing, and they're rowing, and they're rowing, and the one guy breaks his oar. This isn't working. We don't have another oar. But they're still trying, and now they're starting to circle because the one guy broke his oar. They're trying to get out of this mess, and it's not working. The sea is raging against them. And they say, God, we don't want this life to be on us. They fear the Lord. This movement towards their salvation, towards their decision to follow God and not these other gods because of what they're experiencing in the midst of this chaos. They start to call to God. And there's another contrast here. Who was said that he should pray to his God that this would stop? The sailors came to Jonah and said, pray to your God. Who hasn't talked to his God yet? Who's the man of God that's supposed to deliver the message to the people? Jonah. Who's not even having a conversation with his God? Who's trying to get away from his God? Jonah. Who are the heathens that are now having a conversation with the God? The sailors. It's this contrast of these two groups. Jonah, who's supposed to be this man of God, supposed to be in direct conversation with God, supposed to be having these dialogues about the people and bringing God's word to the people. And instead, Jonah's not talking at all. He's silent to God. And the sailors are like, okay, if God's doing all this, God, we don't know what else to do. But he told us to throw him in. So you can't blame that on us. He's supposed to be talking with you. So don't kill us for it. Okay, amen. I think that's how you pray. They don't know. They're heathen sailors. So they just, but they're having a conversation with God. And they're talking with him. And they're starting to have action here. Jonah says he has true fear. But if he had true fear, what would he have done? He would have followed God to Nineveh, even though I'm sure there was some fear because the Assyrians we talked about were horrible people. But if he had true fear, he would have followed God to Nineveh and delivered his message God called him to do. But what was Jonah's true fear? We'll learn in a few weeks. Jonah's true fear is that God would save the people. Jonah didn't want God to be loving and merciful and graceful. God is those things. God, those are his qualities, and Jonah knew that. That's why he flees from the presence of God. That was his biggest fear. His fear was not God. And yet these sailors are showing that they truly fear the Lord. When I was growing up, somewhere in my era, it used to be preachers and Sunday school teachers and evangelists would use a tool to try to get salvations. I call it the Turner Burn theology. People would talk about hell. That was their focus. They would say, if you don't want to go to hell, if you don't want to burn for eternity, you need to get saved. That was how evangelism was done for quite a while. But what's the problem there? The problem became, the result of that type of evangelism was that people thought they were getting fire insurance, is what I call it. They were accepting God just so that they didn't have to go to hell. And they were living like a saint on Sunday, but they were living like Satan on Monday through Saturday. Because they thought, well, if as long as I've got this, as long as I've checked the box, as long as I've said the prayer, then I'm okay. That's not biblical, by the way. The Bible says we're to live like Christ, and our works are to represent what He has showed us to do. It's supposed to represent the Bible, His Word, and how He's commanded us to live. The problem is there's not the true fear of God that brings about the commitment. It's our next verse, verse 16. Let me ask you this question first. Does your decision for God lead you to follow His word? Jonah didn't follow God. Jonah should have followed God, and none of this would have happened. If Jonah said, all right, God, I don't understand this at all. You're probably going to save the people, and I'm not going to like that at all, but I'll just go because you're commanding me to. Instead, he didn't follow God, and look what happened. Here are some sailors who are like, I don't think we should be doing this, but we're getting these messages that this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to hurl him overboard. Okay. They're trying to obey what there's leading here to do. And so does your decision for God lead you to follow His word? So many people, that's not how they live their lives. Maybe they don't have a true fear of the Lord. True fear leads to commitment. Let's read our last verse, verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. There's discussion on whether the sailors are actually saved here. I believe they are. I believe they repent to God and they become part of... They don't know what they are at this point. But it says that they make vows. They give a sacrifice to God for who He is. I believe the vows there are, we're not going to be messing with these other gods. We now know who the true God is. We now know who we should fear exceedingly. The Bible tells us a couple verses that can give us some guides here. Psalm 111 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They have an exceeding fear of the Lord here, and I believe it's the beginning of wisdom for them to know who God is. Psalm 33, verse 8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." As they turn to God, they've just witnessed the Lord's magnificent power over this storm, His sovereignty of what's happening. And Jonah, in some respects, has been an unwilling evangelist here. He didn't tell them about God at all. But instead, he said, well, I serve the God who made the heavens and the sea and the dry land. That doesn't sound like much of a message, does it? Doesn't sound like it would save very many people. But in the midst of this storm, it pointed them to who He was, who God was. We understand that it's not the rulers of this world we need to fear, but it's the Creator of all the world that we need to fear. God commands the winds to blow, the storms to happen, the sun to shine, and all that is created. He's sovereign over all of his creation. He's in charge of it all. He's the one we need to fear. What does it mean to fear the Lord? I wanted to spell that out just a little bit. We know that God's plan for our life is ultimately the best. Fearing him means we're to follow his word. It's a guidebook for our lives. It's the instruction manual. You want to live a good life? Sometimes a hard life, but you want to live a good life the way you were created to live? Here it is. Read it. Little wagon yesterday, I put that together, and that was part of the auction last night. Came with an instruction manual to put it together. Thought about just giving it to him in a box. Because I know these things sometimes, they're not as easy as, oh, step one, step two, step three, okay, we're done. So I started with the instruction manual. Why? Because the people that created it know what they're doing. They know which bolts, which nuts, which washers go with what, how you're supposed to use them. I could have just said, all right, I see some bolts here, put them together. Wouldn't have worked, would it? Would have ended up with three wheels on it and handle on backwards or something, who knows, right? Or it would at least ended up with some extra parts. Guess what? I didn't end up with any extra parts. Why? Because I followed the instructions. The guy who created this came up with a set of instructions for how to put it together with all the parts. They said, this is how this is designed to work. Guess what? The one who created us came up with some instructions. Said, you know what? There was a fall. There was sin that entered the world. That's messed a lot of things up. But this is how you're truly meant to operate. These are the instructions for your life. Are you following those instructions? Guess what? That's the fear of the Lord. When you begin to follow his instructions, follow his word, follow what he calls you to do. Our fear is in disappointing God when we don't follow him. Our fear is not in that he's going to disown us. The Bible tells us he won't do that. Once you're a child of God, you're a child of God, but you can displease God in being a child. Ellie and Naomi, they're always going to be my children. Always. Doesn't matter. They're always my children. But it doesn't mean every once in a while I might not get mad at them. They might do something that displeases me. Guess what? That doesn't make them not my child. They're still my children. The same things with our relationship with God. We do things sometimes that go against what he says, and he goes, why? I've told you right here. I've given it to you. Can't you just follow it? And yet he still loves us, shows us grace, and shows us mercy. So in closing this morning, does your fear cause you to follow? The fear of the Lord should cause us to respond in worship to who he is. Respond in awe and wonder, the Bible says. The fear of the Lord should cause us to fear him rather than people. Put him as number one in our lives. That should also, the fear of the Lord should cause us to hate sin. Why? Because the Bible tells us that God hates sin. And so true fear of him should cause us to hate sin, and true fear of him should cause us to love him. Again, this isn't a fear of his retribution or him hurting us. It's not that kind of fear. It's a fear of displeasing him, because we want to love him so much that we just please him and do what he calls us to do. True fear of him should cause us to follow his commands, and those are the commands from his word. And I believe also when the Holy Spirit prompts us in our lives, that we follow the Holy Spirit's prompting as well. So does your fear cause you to follow? Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for Jonah, God, for his, albeit bad, example, but God, that we can learn from your word, and your word teaches us how we're to live so that we can follow you and we can trust you. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you. Oh, for grace to trust you more. Give me that grace. Pour out that grace upon us that we will trust you in these moments of chaos. That we'll trust you in these moments of fear and questions and doubt. God, that we'll run to you and seek answers. God, that we won't be like Jonah and just ignore you. Wish to be thrown overboard. Want to end it all. But we would run to you and trust you when you call us, when you speak to us. God, we are your children. Help us to please you in all that we do. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.